Yeah, well, I guess when you're at episode 40?
I think it's 40 tonight.
That you would learn a few things. I kind of keep up.
I'm a bit behind. I'm a completist. I tried to start at the beginning.
Mm.
I think I'm up to 9 or 10.
Oh, yeah, you're like 2 years behind.
Yeah, I'm well behind. Yeah.
Oh, we're not at 40 yet. It's only 37.
Oh, okay. Oh. Close.
I feel depressed a little now. I thought this was not
a huge milestone episode. But then again, I mean, 50, right? That would be the first milestone to cross. We'll get there. Well, welcome back to another episode of Scouting Stuff You Should Know. This is episode, oh, we just said this too, 37. That's right, episode 37.
37.
And a couple new faces tonight, or new voices rather, because it's not like we're doing this on video. I'm joined by Echo and Hawkeye, two of my scouters from Beavers.
The Hawkeye, in case anybody's wondering.
Yes.
And I'm Echo. No sound effects with my voice tonight, just regular Echo.
I can add that in post, you know.
Sure, that would be uptown. That would be awesome.
I don't know if I'm going to, but I'm now tempted to. All right, so what are we talking about tonight? Well, we're all Beaver Scouters here, and this was the first year that we got to deliver the program under the full Canadian Path. And so we kind of have an interesting, this actually winds up being an interesting panel. Because, of course, Echo, this is your first year as a scouter, mm-hmm. so you have not known the Beaver program prior to Canadian Path.
Nope.
Hawkeye, this is not your first year as a scouter, so you have seen the Canadian program, or the path, you have seen the program both prior to the Canadian Path and now with it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, myself, I've got a couple of extra years of the Beaver program under my belt beyond Hawkeye. So I can even talk about sort of, because last year was really, we knew Canadian Path was coming. And so there was definitely a lot of transitory elements to it. Whereas, you know, when I would have started now 4 years ago, it was not on the radar at all, really, or there were just rumblings of it. And it was not something that was really consciously considered in programming. So it'll be interesting to kind of do a bit of a compare and contrast, you know, historical versus the current years where the programming. But also, I just thought it would be good to really sit down. And I'm sure anybody listening to this in Ireland, Justin at Scouting Radio and all the rest, will get a good kick out of this because, of course, they've been on. So a little bit of history. What we call Canadian Path is based on a framework called One Program, which was developed by the World Organization of the Scouting Movement in, I want to say, and I may not be entirely correct in this, but I want to say 1999. Scouts Ireland implemented it about a decade ago. Okay. And we have, of course, now just fully implemented it here in Canada over the last year. Well, actually, I may be wrong about 1999. I might actually be thinking about a cybersecurity standard there, but
I'm sure the listeners will let you know one way or another.
Work and scouting are getting conflated in my head. But anyways, One Program was developed quite some time ago. Scouts Ireland has been using it for a number of years. Some of the other national organizations have rolled it out over the last few years. And of course, now it's Scouts Canada's turn. So I remember a conversation I had with Justin, who's the station manager for Scouting Radio, a few years ago, because he's with Scouts Ireland. I had a few months ago this conversation, and he kind of just chuckled, and he's just like, well, I look forward to hearing some of your thoughts about, you know, the program, because we've been dealing with it for 10 years, and, you know, so he's had much more time to appreciate where it is a very strong program and what some of its issues and deficiencies might be. Whereas we've only been doing it for a year, so we don't necessarily have that complete understanding. Because sometimes you do have to let things run for a while before everything that's good and not so good about it really become apparent. But, you know, I figured it was our first full year running a Canadian Path-based program. Be a good time to sit down and just do a recap on how that went. But I thought we might start by, and I got to see if I can pull up the...
It'd be interesting to know what, if any, the major differences are. Even though we're trying to run one program, did we base a lot of our program off of that one program, or, you know, having Ireland have run it for 10 years, did we take a lot of their corrections or suggestions into account when Canadian Path was designed?
I don't know. I don't know how much conversation was had, you know, sort of between the organization. I would hope some.
Yeah, you'd hope that. I mean, most professional organizations would have some best practices, especially with an international standard like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would hope some, but I mean, equally, I don't know. I do note that, you know, the Scouts Ireland website, the art style is different, but not entirely so. You know, the art yep. style that they use, there is, you can see some overlap with.
Yeah, there's some similarities, yeah.
But anyways, but they, I mean, obviously they have a lot of different. One thing that's interesting about the Scouts Ireland program versus ours is, like, they have the outdoor adventure skills. I don't know if they necessarily named them outdoor adventure skills, but they do have, like, the equivalent of the OAS. It's not quite the same OAS set that we have.
Yeah, I would think there would be less stuff that has to do with snow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they have a winter skills thing necessarily. But, you know, it is still a core set of outdoor-focused skills that are broken up into multiple levels that the youth can earn as they progress through the entirety of the program, not just beavers. One thing they don't have, though, personal achievement badges.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Yes. So, that's a thing.
Because that seems to be, at least in our group, that's probably the most active. When we sit down to talk about what badges we're working on and what projects we want to think about, that's where the kids, their minds immediately go to.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the outdoor adventure skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I should back that up a little bit. They have what are called special interest badges, but they have only a handful of them. And they're broken up into very broad categories. Skills, physical, adventure, community, environment. Okay. Versus what they call the adventure skills, which are air, hill walking, emergencies, sailing, paddling, rowing, camping, pioneering, and backwoods.
Hill walking sounds like fun.
Air.
Air.
Hello, air.
So we're going to get Beaver Scouts to go and parachute.
Yeah.
Pilot a glider.
Why not?
Well, gliding, yes. Yeah. I guess my natural fear of heights betrayed me there. Like, yeah, I want to climb a hill. I want to be that Englishman who went up a hill.
To be fair, the level one is, you know, I can name all of the things I know that can fly. I can show pictures of and be able to talk about different types of flying machines. I can build a paper aeroplane from an A4 sheet that will fly, climb, and turn. That's actually pretty challenging.
Yeah.
That is challenging.
From the last camp, I spent a lot of time trying to make airplanes that would pull loop-de-loops, and I was not successful.
That's true. And my son still talks about the airplanes that we got.
I think you probably would need to, like, cut flaps into the wings. If I had to guess, you'd probably have to do that.
I tried. It just was not... I don't know. Might have been the paper. It was all construction paper.
Yeah, that's heavier paper, yeah. So it doesn't necessarily... Yeah.
Well, there's always beavery.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, version 2.
There you go.
I'll up my game.
I'll just buy a whole thing of A4 sheets and the kids can just go nuts with it. Anyways, I can discuss the features of an airport from a model or picture, runway, terminal, control tower. I know how to be safe around aircraft and I visited an airport. So that's the level one. I have no idea what the top level would be. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, if it's anything like ours, where you go from, like, I have been on 2 hikes to... I have hiked the equivalent of the length of the Appalachian Trail. Mm-hmm. That's level 1 to level 9 delta. You know, if it's similar, then this could actually wind up being a really cool area to pursue.
Absolutely.
But anyways, not quite what I was going to talk about. So leading up to the Canadian Path, they actually did release, Scouts Canada did release a transition chart for, you know, sort of the old beaver program to the new beaver program. So coming back to what you were commenting, Corey, this will kind of give some framing for, you know, how we go about analyzing it. And I mean, you'll be able to see, I think, some of the ways that, like, when you came on as a scouter, we were already moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And then I can speak to kind of how we ran things a little bit before. Previously, so pre-Canadian Path, the colony leadership team was basically... the scouters. And the idea was the scouters are really designing and delivering program to the youth. Okay. Whereas under Canadian Path, the whitetails, with the scouters kind of guiding them, would design programming. And then ideally under Canadian Path, and we didn't do this as much, but ideally under Canadian Path, the whitetails should also assist with program delivery, right? We definitely utilized them more on the design side this year.
Yeah, we did.
But in theory, they're also supposed to help a little bit with like program delivery. Mm-hmm. In the understanding, of course, that you wind up breaking them up into patrols, lodges, a lot more frequently. So
I definitely noticed a lot more of that this year. The team that I have on Tuesday, we broke up into lodges a little bit more often.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there were times with the Monday group where I felt like, oh yeah, full disclosure for you listening in. So, we run two beaver colonies, one on Monday nights, one on Tuesday nights. Myself and Echo were with the Monday group. Hawkeye is with the Tuesday group.
Yeah.
So there you go. Full. Just now you understand what we're on about there with Tuesday and, Monday. But like, I know with the Monday group, there were a few nights where I'm just like, we could have maybe done this as lodges, but, and I think that's going to be a challenge for us or something to hit next year, really, as we go forward is just, you know, yeah, make sure we break them up and get them into lodges and really do give the whitetails a chance to step forward and take charge a lot more. But that is one of the major differences that the Canadian Path brought in was just under the old system. It was really the youth just showed up and the scouters basically had everything planned out and ran it. And I mean, like as not, we're still there to facilitate. We're still there to keep things in order and keep things moving along. So in a lot of ways, we're still doing what we were doing before as scouters, but we're definitely using youth input a lot more than we were 4 years ago. And I think one of the ways that was chiefly reflected is just the sheer amount of opportunities we've now had to get the kids outdoors. Like when I was with Beavers Ellis first year, the only overnight trip we did was, where did we go that year? That was the Reynolds Museum.
I think you said Reynolds. Yeah.
So that was the only overnight trip we did. So one indoor overnight trip in the fall. And then other activities, including outdoor activities, hikes and whatnot, but then never really another camp. Second year, much the same thing. And then, you know, starting with about Ellis third year, started to push the envelope a little bit more. That's when we started to go back to Beaverie. And now this last year, of course, we've had many, many more outdoor activities. Although technically, we're still a little bit short of where Scouts Canada would like to actually see the program go. So another challenge for us next year is going to be to really push the outdoor envelope a little bit further. But it's nice because the youth seem keen on that. Mm-hmm. There's always really good response from the youth to that.
Well, and you and I have talked about doing a summer program. And so I launched a doodle poll. And everybody who has responded in that doodle poll since the last time I checked has been positive about being outside, meeting outside, and doing activities outside so far.
Well, that makes sense for the summer months, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
it's obviously warm.
Summer.
Warm-ish for Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, mm-hmm. where we just got, what, almost a foot of snow today?
Yeah, it was it was a nice little surprise when I woke up.
Yeah, happy spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's only, April 23rd.
Yeah.
Well, as I know, I must have joked to you by now, the winter ends here in one of the M months.
Yeah.
I make no promises that it's March.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyways, it was quite a surprise because yesterday we were devoid of snow. I was out in the yard playing with the kids. It was wet, you know, it's a lot of moisture, but it was devoid of snow. And then, just wake up this morning and it's like pulling on my shirt and I happen to stare out the window and I'm like, oh, well, hi there.
I blame the Oilers.
They did well.
It's almost a Groundhog Day moment. You wake up and you're like, What month is this again? Yeah. Are we back in time? Do I have to do January all over again?
I got to confess, I was grinning like an idiot. But then I love the snow, so. Yeah. So, yeah. Now, I mean, I know I've talked about on the podcast before, this change, I think this was kind of one of the biggest changes, going from like just a leadership team comprised entirely of scouters to the whole Whitetail Council model. It's definitely something we played around with last year, to great effect. You know, we got a lot of great ideas from the youth. The board game I've used as an example, they wanted to do more outdoor activities, more camps. So we really started to push that envelope a little bit. Again, this year, you know, a lot of suggestions of outdoor stuff. That has been, I think, probably the most significant change to the program under the path, or maybe one of the two most significant changes. I couldn't necessarily say that it's the most significant, but it's certainly one of the two most significant. We'll get to what might be the more significant one in a little bit here. The other thing, so Beaver Scouts was founded on sort of the, for the longest time, the mythos of the program, you know, like if you think about like the Cub program and how it's heavily based on the Jungle Book, right?
Yeah.
For the longest time, the Beaver Scouts was based on Friends of the Forest, you know, a little short story, 10 or so chapters, I think. Mm-hmm. You can find it on the Scouts Canada wiki, wiki.scouts.ca. They have, I think, a PDF version available for download. It's, you can buy it in scout shops. Yep. And it's like, I mean, all the names we use, Tic Tac, Echo, Hawkeye, and all the rest, or at least a lot of the names that the leaders can get nicknamed, all come from Friends of the Forest. And it's good in, you know, I mean, it's nice to have that sort of grounding narrative, right? Because you can play around with it. And sometimes, you know, it was just nice to read a chapter of Friends of the Forest with the youth and then talk about it. It's a cute little story, for sure. But some of the symbolism that we drew out of the story changed under Canadian Path. So like before, when we had whitetails in the second half of the year, they would, if they were moving up to cubs, they would receive their the magic light tail or the lightning tail, right? So it was the white tail with a silver strip down the middle. And of course, that is right out of Friends of the Forest. There's the one beaver who gets struck by lightning, except he doesn't die. His fur turns silver and he's able to communicate with the humans.
He's a mutant.
In a manner of speaking, yeah. So he receives the magic light and now he's able to speak for the beavers and speak to the humans. Yep. So that's gone. Now we have the Northern Lights tale. Now, the art for the Northern Lights tale is gorgeous. I love what they've done for amazing. It. It does kind of step away from Friends of the Forest. Now, hello, what are you buzzing about? Oh, right. Okay. So the lightning bolt tale symbolized the beavers, like I say, its progression to Cub Scouts. It was presented and worn springish of a beavers last year in the program, but that was also pretty much all there was to it. You know, it was just, oh, you're moving up to Cubs. Okay, good. Well, congratulations. And here's your lightning tale. The Northern Lights tale symbolizes the Beaver Scouts Northern Lights quest. So it's presented and worn again, kind of in the second half of the year. But now instead of just symbolizing, well, you're going to Cubs next year, it actually symbolizes that, you know, you as the Beaver Scout, the White Tail, are now working on the Northern Lights quest, this final challenge to you as a Beaver Scout, which we'll discuss a little bit. Actually, maybe I'll just jump ahead to that because that was kind of one of the other big things that they introduced. The North Star Award. And again, this is something that just appeared out of nowhere compared to the old program, because in previous years, we didn't have a top award for the Beaver section. It was basically you get your Chief Scout, Queen's Venturer. If you were a Beaver or a Cub, there was nothing for you. And if you were a Rover, there wasn't anything internal to the program. The Duke of Edinburgh was kind of seen as the top award for a Rover, but the Duke of Edinburgh is not specific to scouting. You can earn it even if you're not a scout. So the more you know. Mm-hmm. Now all of our sections have a top section award, which is internal to the program.
Yep.
Rovers can still get the Duke of Edinburgh if they want, but now they actually do have their own award within the program to get. And so do Beavers. They have the North Star Award, which, you know, sort of represents, hopefully represents kind of a culmination of their time and experiences in Beavers, right? And I mean, I think we've talked about some of the requirements on previous episodes of the podcast. It's 5 levels of the outdoor adventure skills. So not that a beaver would probably ever get to level 5 in any individual skill, but like, you know, if they get to level 1 in 5, that works. Mm-hmm. 5 hours of community service, a personal sort of capstone project that benefits their local community or the national community or the world, and then just sitting down with a scouter for like a progression review. So I don't know if any of our whitetails are going to hit that. I think there's a few who have like sufficient levels of OAS. And I mean, obviously, they can continue to work on service projects and service hours over the summer. And it really just, you know, I guess us as scouters are challenged. Us are just going to be able to be on hand for them to again, sit down and review these different stages with them as they complete them. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that we even have the North Star Award, which is the culmination of that Northern Lights quest, that is a big thing.
Yep.
And I mean, this year, I thought it was going to be a struggle this year because, of course, we didn't really have the outdoor adventure skills prior to this. So assessing where each of the whitetails was always going to be a challenge. And so I'm not surprised that we don't necessarily have any whitetails who, as of our last meeting, are going to definitively receive North Star. But then equally, I'm sure that if they wanted to, there are more than a couple of whitetails who would be able over the summer months to complete it.
Yeah, because they have to the end of the scouting year.
Pretty much. Actually, I think they actually even have into their time in Cubs. But I mean, obviously we can continue to support them as Beaver Scouters until such time as they go into Cubs. I actually have to review the manual and policy as to what exactly the timeline is on that. But like I know for Chief Scout, I think you actually have at least part of your first year in Venturers to earn it. So I would assume that would also apply to the younger sections, top section awards.
Oh, that's definitely the more you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Coming back to one of the other big changes was, of course, you know, the de-emphasis on Friends of the Forest. Friends of the Forest provided the symbolic framework for the Beaver Scout program previously. The pond map, which admittedly I love because I grew up playing old school RPGs and cloth maps greatly entertain me.
And it is amazing.
It is. It's
awesome. Great to look at. The kids love to play with it. They love those meetings where you pull it out and
yeah.
We look, okay, what have you filled off? Fill in your circles, make sure you know where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good, going back to like spices and stuff, it's a good reflection moment to go through to, you know, and maybe we haven't been as consistent with it sometimes. Obviously it's not necessarily driven from leadership, but, it has been a good time to sit down and say, okay, here's the things we've done, who's participated in these things. And then to take that minute to reflect, okay, what have we done? What did we do? Well, we went on a hike when we were camping, we had a campfire. So that's a spirituality thing.
Yep. And
I was going to say, I like how lots of the activities that we've done this year hit multiple areas, or at least when we were filling it out on Tuesday, we took a look at, okay, what did we actually do during this adventure and what could it possibly go under? So,
yep. No, we had a lot of moments like that as well. And so I guess maybe there were like three biggest changes then, because the pond map was hugely effective, right? Like, and again, like this is just sort of one of the biggest change, like, I mean, sort of the overall, the biggest meta change, if you want to pardon my use of that term, is just the fact that Canadian Path really brought the Beaver Scout program in line with how we deliver programming to the older youth, Cubs even, and the Scouts, right? Because I mean, like the Cubs, they had the Cub book and that was like the guide, you know, if you wanted to earn a badge, all the requirements for the badge were listed in there and you just check them off.
Still have one, mine from when I was a Cub in the 90s.
Yeah. Mine's back there somewhere. I think under the staircase, actually.
You were a Cub in the 90s?
I was a Cub at the beginning of the 90s.
I would have been, early 90s.
I guess.
I think I have.
Do the math backwards, I suppose, right?
Oops.
I have on my scouting blanket, I believe I have a winter adventure from when I lived in New Brunswick from 1988.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Not that that dates me at all.
Well, we were just going over the yearbook. You can't have been more than a couple of grades ahead of me, so.
No. Well, when you graduate in 1998, then I don't think I was that much further ahead of you.
Class of 2000.
Yeah, I was 98 as well.
That was my...
It was a good year.
I believe that was my brother as well. Class of 2000.
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, like the Cubs had the Cub book and the Scouts had their book that they could reference as well. So just having the map, having something that we can sit down with the Beaver Scouts with and, you know, yeah, they can track their progress and they can see, oh, yeah, wow, we're really exploring this area. And it's good for us as a leader, as scouters too, because we can go back to it and be just like, okay, like we have really explored this area a whole bunch and that one, not so much. We should focus on that. So, you know, now I think maybe the one thing that came up with a couple of the youth was, well, no, you don't have to have all the circles filled out your first year. That is not the, this is supposed to last you 3 years.
And some parents also.
That too. But, yeah, just, it's like, okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We want you to have this for 3 years and hopefully by the end of 3 years, most, if not all of this is filled out, but it's not like a race to the finish line and we'll get you a new cloth map next year.
Yeah.
You just fill out again. So, that was certainly one little bit of learning curve.
Yeah.
But,
and speaking of progression, so as a, I have a reasonably extensive scouting history. I did Beavers, Cubs, Scouts, Ventures, Rovers, just a little bit. And I didn't, looking back, I didn't have a terrific experience in Beavers. It wasn't a negative experience. I remember it being a somewhat tedious and boring experience. I don't remember having any great adventures. There was nothing to work towards. We would go and take a tour of a grocery store and we got to see back, I remember at McDonald's, we did a few crafts, but I don't have great memories of my Beaver experience. And it was only once we got to Cubs and there was a structured program and there was, the program just had more structure and meat to it that I really started to sort of build memories and really enjoy myself in scouting. And so I appreciate that this year, so now seeing it through my son, that he's been, and this might be part of our group versus other groups, but we've been doing camping, we've been getting up to adventures, there's been progression, you can see people developing themselves or just setting goals for themselves. That's been nice and something that's very different from how I experienced Beavers, at least as a youth.
Well, and I think that was one of the big goals of the changes made to the program under Canadian Path was just, bringing it more in line with how we were delivering program to the other youth, but then yeah, B, actually turning it into something, right? Because like even 4 years ago, you know, like when I started out Beavers 4 years ago with Ella, it was still very much what you describe. You know, you show up, we did a lot of crafts. And I mean, and not that there's necessarily, you know, I don't want to disparage that activity necessarily because you know what? The occasional craft is actually a good thing. You know, sometimes it is good to do something that challenges their manual dexterity. Let's face it, we live in Canada. It sometimes gets to minus 40 outside. And at some point, you know, the Beaver's enjoyment of snow does end.
For those of you who are not on our system of measurement, minus 40 is in Celsius.
It actually doesn't matter.
No, at that point.
Oh, I know. But you should be out. If you live in the United States and you come up to Canada and it's minus 32, you probably should just go home because you'll be warmer there.
True too. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's one of the reasons I always fall on minus 40 is because I can just say it and it doesn't matter who's listening. They know it's cold. the youth do love to get outdoors in the wintertime, but at that temperature, generally speaking, nobody would be having fun. Mm-hmm. Except for like a couple of my old scouters who were crazy. But anyways, it is good to, you know, be able to have those indoor activities, crafts included. But I think one of the big things that I noticed, and you know, this kind of speaks to your comment about it maybe being boring or a little bit plain, is the fact that, you know, we weren't really doing too much more with the Beavers on nights when we were in the gym than Ella was already doing with, like, you know, preschool or kindergarten or whatever she was in at the time, right?
Yeah.
And I think, and I mean, at the time I was kind of, you know, I was not the section scouter at the time. You know, I was definitely the baby of the bunch in pretty much, I mean, I had the extensive scouting career as a youth member, Beavers all the way through Rovers, 21 years. But in terms of, you know, being on the scouter team and in terms of just my age relative to my fellow scouters, I was in every respect the baby. Mm-hmm. And
what do you mean was?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's still boss baby in our group.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that might still be true, actually. But one of the things that I really wanted to set out to do last year and this year, you know, as I kind of fully settled into the section role, the section scouter role, was to make sure that we were sort of consistently doing activities that would not be typical of their kindergarten experience, would not be typical of preschool for them. And, you know, so yeah, I mean, if we do the occasional craft, that's fine because occasionally we do need to just have a bottle episode of a meeting. Mm-hmm. It just happens that way. Yeah. But equally, if we can get away from that, if we can get to doing other activities, we can push the outdoors more. If we can just get a little offbeat in terms of what we're doing, even when we're indoors, this is better than, you know, delivering a program that's boring. And I mean, for the last 2 years, especially, you know, I think we've seen a very high degree of engagement from the youth. This year has been really good for that. And that's nice to hear. That's nice to see. And that's nice to hear, you know, that the fact that the youth are enthusiastic to be there, and it's nice too, to have, you know, scouters like Rainbow and like Chatter who volunteer in the local schools, right? Mm-hmm. Because then they provide some additional intel. You know, I love hearing feedback from Chatter when, you know, she's been working the lunchroom at her son's school and, you know, she can hear some of the youth buzzing about what happened at Beavers that mm-hmm. week.
Oh, it's
just like, yes, no, that is exactly what we want. And we talked about this on the last episode, right? How it's that word of mouth, right? Building the youth engagement and then getting them telling their friends about all the awesome times they're having. It's just like, yes, that is where we need to be. That is the sweet spot. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why registration opens just kind of at the start of May. And I already have like a wait list for contacts, you know? So like and I mean, I've been building up this list for the last probably 4 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, and I think there's already 7 people on it. So I mean, we're going to be in another situation almost assuredly where once registration opens wide, we're going to be full up by the summer.
Easily.
Good. If we even make it that far, you know.
The thing that I've enjoyed, you were mentioning how Chatter hears a lot of great stuff at her school. On the reverse of that, Chip came to us specifically because the group that she was with before did not fulfill a need that she was looking for. And she wanted to do more with her son. And so I think they have also really enjoyed being able to do more than run around a gym.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that was her big thing. That was her big complaint about the group that she was with before, was just, you know, well, we just kind of show up and they run around the gym for an hour. I mean, if all they want to do is throw dodgeballs at each other, then that's all they do. And like on the one hand, you know, I suppose if the kids show up and the scouter's just like, okay, what do you want to do? And the loudest kids say, dodgeball, dodgeball, dodgeball. And so they just play dodgeball for an hour. Technically, that's youth-led. But practically, you know, I think the scouter drops the ball a little bit in that case mm-hmm. because, you know, our role as scouters, and it's interesting too that, you know, they've really emphasized the transition in nomenclature there. You know, under the old program, leader was a term that was used fairly commonly. And admittedly, I still fall back into it occasionally, mm-hmm. but we're really supposed to be scouters. And it's understood that our role is not so much to lead the colony as to be like facilitators, mm-hmm. right? So, but you know, what does a facilitator do? What is a facilitator supposed to do? You're a guide. You're meant to, okay, you know, collect those ideas from the youth. And then, I mean, and you know, we've seen this with our Whitetails Council. Some of the ideas are just straight up great. And you can just be like, yeah, sure. Like, I can build a meeting out of that. Like, we can make that happen and it'll be great. Hmm. Some of the ideas, they need to, you know, you need to probe a little bit more, right? Or you need to ask some questions around it. Because, you know, as you're facilitating programming, you don't want to get to that point where it's just dodgeball every week, right? It's like, okay,
yeah,
dodgeball, dodgeball, dodgeball. Okay, well, we played dodgeball last week. So let's try and think of something else to do.
Yeah.
And so again, you know, you're building rapport with the youth, you're building engagement with the youth. And if you drop the ball on that, well, then yeah, I mean, we're very fortunate that we got Chip out of that. We're very fortunate that she made the choice to look for another group rather than just walk away from the program entirely.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably other people who have made the opposite decision, and that's unfortunate.
But, for sure.
Yeah. But we're very lucky that she did make the transition over to us because, yeah, we were doing some different, and that was pre-Canadian Path. But, you know, like, we were definitely still trying even then to, because that would have been not last year, but the year before. So kind of my first year stepping into the section role. And, you know, when we were trying to really, it's like, okay, yeah, let's get outside the box. Let's think outside the gym a little bit and go from there. And I mean, the program we delivered then was all right. You know, we had a couple of like really showstopper items that we did. And then some decent stuff around that. But like compared to the programming last year and then this year, I don't think it really stacks up, you know, like where we were that year when Chip came on was actually a really awkward year because I had lost so many scouters. Like I had come into the section role and I had lost so many of the scouters that had been there previously.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, just God, Chip was a godsend, really. Just like I was on the cusp of like not being able to really continue programming into January. And then she came on board as a fully trained scouter looking for a change. And it was just like, okay, like, yes, this is, and we'd done some really neat stuff. But like equally, we hadn't really pushed ourselves too terribly far because gosh, like half my scouters were not fully trained, were, you know, not necessarily even particularly familiar with the scouting program. You know, they were volunteering because they wanted the program to be delivered to their child. And I mean, you know what? I'm glad they stepped up when they did. Mm-hmm. A lot of them didn't come back, but equally it was great that they stepped up when they did because we actually were able to deliver a program that year. But, you know, like Chip, she did stick with us.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now we're going to, well, we'll lose her from the Beavers, but I'll get her for Cubs. So, mm-hmm.
Well, that's win-win for you to a point.
In a manner of speaking, it's like I win and lose at the same time. It's a weird place to be in.
Yeah.
Maybe she could be like you and wear her uniform to two meetings and come back if we had an emergency.
Mm.
I think she should probably just come less back, likely. Period.
Yeah.
Mm. See, but she doesn't have any other youth in the Beaver program.
Well, that's not my problem.
That's true.
That's her fault for not having more kids.
Yeah,
you know absolutely. Who I really have to talk to is the other Akela from the Cub Pack because she is stepping down as the Akela.
Oh.
So I will be the Akela for the Cubs. And she's not sure. She wants to remain involved, but she's not sure at what level.
Mm-hmm.
My wife thinks I should try and talk to her about becoming a Beaver Scouter.
Yeah. Well, why not? She wouldn't really have a ton of extra work to do as a Beaver Scouter because
no, if
the
anything,
lead roles
sit
are
back
already
a bit.
Set for the 2 days. She can just come and enjoy the programming and go home.
And she gets along really well with the younger kids.
Yeah, she does.
So I should totally talk to her about that. Anyways, where was I going with this? And then, of course, the biggest change. Well, actually, hang on. This is another one worth commenting on because we've talked about the outdoors a little bit. And one of the big changes, and I know I talked about this on the episode with Regan. I think I've referenced it on a handful of other episodes. Just even the ability to camp with the Beaver Scouts. Because when I started as a scouter, I think one of our biggest impediments to taking the Beaver Scouts camping was the fact that they had to have a parent along. And I mean, again, just to, you know, properly couch that term and to understand what I mean and don't mean by it. You know, I don't ever mean to say that parents are unwelcome to come on a camp. If a parent wants to come on a camp, that's okay, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the parents who do come on camps, not all, but a lot, are pretty keen to just pitch in and help out where help is needed, right? Yeah. Whether that's helping on the back end with like kitchen stuff, whether that's helping out with activities. And this is a great thing, and I like it. And, you know, at the end of the day, parents do know their kids better than we do. Hopefully, they know their kids better than we as the Scouters do. Yeah. And so they know the temperament of their kids a little bit better than we as do as, you know, just the as the Scouters. So, you know, consequently, like they have a better idea as to, you know, whether their child will be comfortable away from home for a night without mom and dad present or whether a parent is needed. Mm-hmm. And it really does vary from Beaver Scout to Beaver Scout, right? Like, I know my own daughter would probably not be necessarily comfortable spending a night away if I wasn't there. She has done a sleepover at the neighbor's house, but, you know, equally, the neighbor's house is a lot different than a cabin at Sylvan Lake. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you have, you know, the two brothers that we have on the Monday night section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One is 7, one is 5. And the 5-year-old's almost more keen to be on his own for a night. Yeah. Like he is just the most enthusiastic little guy to just get out there and be just like, yeah, I'm totally doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, cool. Yeah. Like, sure.
That's been a great growing experience for the two of them as well. I mean, from that first time at the Reynolds when they were a mess. They couldn't get their bedrolls undone. Oh, their mm-hmm. Were you sleeping next to them, Corey?
I was sleeping very close to them.
Yeah, yes. And to the last camp we had out at Camp Woods, they were much better about getting organized, you know, get up, get our clothes on in the morning. When it came time to pack up, they were keen about getting in there. Even actually at that point, because that was by then our third overnighter, the other Beavers were pitching in and helping out, and everybody was taking a team approach to getting the bunk set up. So those two in particular, they've shown a lot of growth, which has been good.
And, you know, they're just a great team anyways. Like, I mean, just them as like a little unit unto themselves, brother and brother. It's really nice to watch. They're a fascinating pair for sure. But yeah, you're right. There has been a lot of growth there. And I mean, that's ultimately what you want to come away from the program seeing, right? Again, you know, it's like, trying not to just run another flavor of preschool here. You're actually trying to, you know, run something that is going to, like you say, you know, take all these youth and form them into a team and, you know, really get them into this zone where they can, after repeated excursions and adventures, you know, just fall in and make it happen, you know, almost for themselves, you know, really make the experience their own. And take ownership of it, especially in like a camp setting. Like that's the best to actually see that happen.
Yep.
And again, like, I mean, even 4 years ago, that was really not something that we had as much flexibility to do, because if we did ever want to get the kids out camping, well, then it had to be every youth had to have basically a 1-to-1 kid to adult ratio. Every youth had to have a parent present. And again, like, it's not like we want to discourage parents from coming, but then equally, parents being adults aren't necessarily able to commit the time to attend a camp, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like their kid might really want to attend the camp, but if they can't because something else is happening on the weekend or with one of their other kids or, you know, like, I mean, I used to be a traveling husband, right? So it's like, you know, well, one parent's out of town for the weekend and there are three kids in the family. Well, I can't very well be out at Camp Woods with one. What do I do with the other two? Right. Like, lots of things, right? Lots of ways that requirement really got in the way. And I think, you know, probably prior to my and Ella's arrival in the Beaver Scouts program, the decision has just been made that with the exception of that one trip, the October, November trip to Reynolds and Tellus and Drumheller on the rotating cycle. Outside of that, there was basically not going to be any overnight excursions. And then that requirement was relaxed, and now we've been able to just have some amazing outdoor adventures with the youth. Just really get out there and camp, and it's been so good. So again, that's kind of one of the really major changes under Canadian Path. And it's such a welcome one. Like, I'm so glad for that.
Now, from your experience, kind of being in contact with multiple scouting groups from across Canada or across the world, Do you find that we are, our particular group is an anomaly in that we, because it feels to me like I don't know if we're pushing the boundaries, but we seem to be doing a lot of stuff that even when I was in Cubs, we didn't necessarily camp 3 or 4 times a year. And this year, with Beavery, we'll hit 4 times, 4 overnighters this year. So are we like in the groove, sort of in the bell curve, or are we pushing the far edge?
I don't think we're at the far end of it, but I think we're definitely ahead of the curve in some respects. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of groups do get out and camp a lot, but funnily enough, this requirement about parents still actually looms large in a lot of the discussions I see happen on like Facebook or wherever, right? Like some groups take our approach where it's just parents purely optional. Mm-hmm. But even then, there's been some debate within our scouter team as to whether that's necessarily how we want to go about it, right? And I mean, I can understand why. You know, like we've had some discussions about, you know, whether we should require parents under certain circumstances, or if it's like one night okay, but 2 nights we should have extra people there. So there's been discussion around there. But then, I mean, ultimately that hasn't really resulted in us actually laying down a formal policy of our own internally. Mm-hmm. Other groups have made decisions around that idea. So like some groups I know require parents with brown tails. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then blue tails require a parent if it's more than 1 night or something like that. And then white tails can be completely unparented. Around the world, I have a little bit less of a standard of comparison, right? Mm-hmm. I should probably actually talk with like Justin, see how they do it in Ireland. But yeah, like I get the sense, but I mean like communicating with some other groups around here outside of like the Facebook realm, mm-hmm. They seem to be pushing the envelope even a little bit further than we are. Okay. Like the 182nd that organizes Beavery, my gosh, they are hardcore. Mm-hmm. You know, they even do like their investiture is an overnight camp.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's really hardcore.
Yes. So.
Ideas for next year.
Yep, totally.
See, I relish the role of the underachiever. Like, we do a hike. That was awesome.
The hike the hike was following the recommendation under the Canadian Path Guidelines, which is, you know, again, to really ceremonialize it, right? And it was good, right? Because, you know, like just, you know, it was a 3-stage hike. You walk to one spot, mm-hmm. you invest your brown tails, then you walk to another spot and you invest your blue tails, and then your brown tails from last year get their blue tails as well. And then you walk to a third spot and you invest your new white tails, and then your blue tails from last year get their white tails. And then you go have campfire and marshmallows. Or we did the baked apples. Those were really good.
We did, yeah.
Those were tasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure how that one was going to turn out when I came up with that recipe. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I stole it from the internet. But
yeah, I figured the kids would probably have fun with the whole idea of I take an apple and I put sugar in it and I wrap it in foil and I throw it into a fire.
Yeah, that was definitely.
You're really hitting that sweet spot, sugar and fire, right?
Yeah,
sugar
pretty much. It's just that I really didn't see any way that was not going to go well. Except for my daughter who doesn't like apples. But you know what? That's all right.
I forgot to bring tongs to pull them out of the fire.
It's okay.
This past year. So
that's we had sticks. Yeah. We improvised.
Yeah, we made it work as well.
One leader was pulling them out. Who was it? Yeah. Pulling them out with 2 sticks. That was an interesting game of chopsticks with 4-foot-long chopsticks.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm just going to guess it was probably Chatter.
No.
No, it wasn't Chatter.
Oh.
It was maybe Rusty?
I know, it wasn't. No, I forget his name.
Not Rusty.
One of the new guys with me.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, what did we wind up calling him? Not Talon.
No.
He's one of the Tuesday
Talon's
guys.
Talon's mine.
And he wasn't there, actually. I don't think he made that one. Ah, gar.
So, of course, come to us afterwards.
Malik.
Yes, he is Malik.
Malik.
Yeah, didn't we name him at the spring camp?
No, I held we named him at the same time as you, I think. We held a runoff vote.
I was named at
you were named
Tangle
at
Trees.
Yeah,
you were named at Tangle Trees?
I got Tangle Trees.
Oh, no. So it was at
spring
it was
camp.
At
fall camp.
Yeah, it was our fall camp. And then we came back from fall camp, and a couple of the kids that were there were calling me Echo, and some of the other kids were like, who, what? and at that point, then we had at Riverbanks, then we discussed what should we name our last two nameless scouters.
That's right. And that was that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, we basically just did a a literal runoff vote in the sense it's like, okay, if he should be this, go stand over there. If he should be this, go stand over there. And the kids literally voted with their feet.
And we still have no bubbles. Mm-hmm.
Say what?
And there's still no bubbles.
No bubbles.
No, we have somehow avoided naming anyone bubbles.
We have sunshine is also occasionally known as not bubbles.
Yes, that's right. The anti-bubbles. Yeah, and, I mean, just, you know, we talk about progression, and I think that's been one of the biggest changes under Canadian Path, is just the fact that, you know, under the old Beaver program, there was nothing there to really give the youth a sense of their own progression through the program, you know, let alone some actual progression metric, which also did not exist, but even just anything to give the youth their own sense of progressing through the program. Now we have things like the pond map. Now we have things like the outdoor adventure skills. And I mean, technically we're supposed to sit down and do like a year-end review with each youth. That is probably going to be something we'll have to bake into the next couple of meetings as well, is just, you know, and just say, you know, like, hey, like, here's where you started the year. Here's where you've ended the year. You know, how do you think you've done in the program? And just really get a lot of feedback from them.
So we have to, we're supposed to do a one-on-one with each of the Beaver Scouts.
Yes. Probably have to bake that into the next couple of meetings.
Yeah, because, I think so too.
That's a lot to cover in an hour with 20 youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
even if every leader is doing it, it would still... What do you do with the other youth that are there?
Well, I mean, like, we do have the, like, you know, take Monday and Tuesdays, like the, this week upcoming activity, right? Where we've got kind of like the plant pot thing, right? I should clarify that we're just planting things in pots. Yes. It is actual grass.
Yes.
Not, I'm not using any slang here.
contrary to what you've seen, we may have legalized marijuana in Canada. We are not encouraging our youth to grow it yet.
Well, no. It's not legal yet.
Soon. I went to Home Depot today and I grabbed potting soil and like really hardy grass seeds. It claims that the grass is able to like, you know, stand up to being trod upon and it grows quickly. So I'm assuming that this will, you know, yield a pot full of grass fairly quickly for the kids in question. And then we have like little faces to put on the pot. It's really funny, but gosh, I got to
So we're practically making a chia pet just using like
lawn.
Kentucky bluegrass or something.
Yeah. Just lawn. Yeah. Chia pet with lawn. But you know, I mean, on the one hand, that's not going to be a particularly long activity. And I mean, like some of the youth are probably going to want to work on badges. Spoiler alert. That's the next thing I was going to talk about. But, like it doesn't take all that long to put potting soil into a little 2-inch peat pot and put a funny face on it. And then sprinkle grass seeds. That doesn't take all that long.
You say that now.
I do say that now.
Yeah.
The ingenuity of 5 and 6 year olds to waste time putting dirt into a bowl
is not admittedly formidable.
Yes.
But I figure like, you know, it is something that we could peel away individual youth from and then sit down with one or two scouters and be just like, yeah, so how's your year been? And just take 5 minutes to have that conversation. Wouldn't get through all of them, but can probably get through a lot of them. So anyways, challenge to us. But even just the fact that we have that, even just the fact that we're supposed to go back and do that. And, you know, just again, really now we have a sense of progression and it's wonderful. You know, we have something that the program is pointing us towards. We have something that the youth are individually being aimed towards and we're seeing it. We're seeing the growth, like you mentioned. We're seeing the change and just how they... improve. I don't want to use the word improved, but like just, yeah, how things are different, you know, from the start of the year to now. It's wonderful to see. And it's wonderful that we actually have some way of tracking that. And it's wonderful that we have some way of, you know, recognizing it with, you know, rewards in the form of the OAS. And then of course, there's the fact that we now have badges at all, right? Because we never had that.
That was huge.
Yeah. 40, 41 years of the Beaver program in Canada. We didn't have badges and now all of a sudden we do. And the uptake has been insane.
Oh yeah. I know that we have handed out on Tuesday. I feel like we've handed out almost 10 to 11 badges, which probably doesn't seem like a lot, but when you go from getting zero badges to all of a sudden a group of 16 youth, and most of them are working on at least something. I've been handing out badges every couple of meetings or so. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's been interesting because like I've been tending on the Monday side to kind of do the more in like bulk handouts. And I couldn't speculate what the count is,
but this
this
week should be a big one.
This week is probably going to be, there's going to be a fair bit handed out. Yeah. Cause there's some youth who I know I have been saying like, yes, I know I have to give you your badge. We are again in a situation where we can't because, you know, we've run out of time or we're in the middle of something, you know, like whatever. The point is, I know there's a few youth who I definitely have to give badges to. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a few youth who are definitely going to want to present more stuff for badges. There's a certain young lady who's moving up to Cubs next year that I'm sure will have more to contribute. Mm-hmm. For example, you may know of who I speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she's number one contender for North Star Award.
I think betting
money would have her high up in the odds.
I would really hope that she's able to make it. Chip's son is also.
Oh yeah.
I know he's got his OAS. Mm-hmm. He's got all his OAS requirements covered off. So it's just, and I know he was looking at some service project ideas. Mm-hmm. So
now, just to clarify, is this our new Monday Beaver Scout who is incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? Excited.
Engaged in conversation.
So engaged.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think I have ever seen, maybe one or two of mine are similar to that, but not to that level.
No.
She just came in this year and, you mentioned on the last podcast how you don't get to see much about Monday or Tuesdays, and I don't get to see much on Tuesdays, but just the camps that we've gone to that she's been at have been, wow.
Yeah.
Like that is a kid who really is excited.
It's great to see that, right? Because I mean it's great to see when they can, it's great to watch them come out of their shell over the course of the year, but it's also great when you have the ones who are just coming in the door at full throttle and are, you know, just pure undampened enthusiasm the whole year through. Yep. You need both. you really do need both because, you know, you have the latter group who are your sustainers, right?
Yep.
Like even when everybody else might be a little bit iffy, they're just like, no, this is awesome and we are doing it. And then, you know, you have the ones who are sort of growing along with the program. And then, you know, by the end, it's just like, wow, this is awesome. Badges, they just huge uptake. And it's funny because the personal achievement badges are purely elective on the part of the youth. They actually don't factor into, at least in terms of how we measure youth progression in the program, they're not a part of it. You know, you could earn every single personal achievement badge twice and you'd be no closer to your North Star Award than if you'd earned none of them. Except maybe in the sense that as you went about earning these badges, because they're very choose your own adventure, right? The youth are, you know, it's not like, oh, I want to earn my art badge. Well, it's not like, okay, well, here's your checklist. Mm-hmm. That you got to complete. It's all right. Well, here's a planning template. Let's sit down and hash out a plan. Like what kind, you know, what do you like to do that is artistic, right? And for some youth that's drawing and for some youth it's other stuff. Mm. Right. So it's like, okay, so how are we going to explore what you like about art and turn that into requirements for a badge that you've devised for yourself? And, you know, me as the scouter, I'm just basically trying to, again, ask those probing questions and sort of, help them figure it out, right?
Yeah.
For the Beaver Scouts, having never had a badge program before, this is the best thing ever. It's been more of a struggle for the Cub Scouts because, of course, previously they would have had the Cub book, and the Cub book would have been just like, okay, well, your art badge, here's your checklist. Your photography badge, here's your checklist. And just do all the things and you get your badge. Now it's like, oh, I want to get my, I guess it's called the hobby badge now, and I want to do it about photography. Well, cripes, what do I got to do to get a photography hobby badge? Oh my gosh. And, you know, so like it's very much a paradigm shift for the Cubs. For the Beavers, it's more just a, hey, we actually have badges now. Like this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten pretty good about planning and carrying out badges. Like I've been genuinely impressed pretty much the whole year through. I thought we were going to be doing a lot more coaching, but just the imagination and ingenuity that they've really brought to the badge program has been astounding. And you know, I don't know how you've been doing it on Tuesday, but like I've never tried on Monday to sell the badges as a mandatory thing.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I had a parent email me concerned and I said, hey, this isn't mandatory. If your youth wants to work on this badge, they have until they graduate and go to Cubs. Like this isn't a, you have to accomplish this in a week type thing. You have a long time to plan it. You can do it as much as you want. And I did say that to the Beavers as well. This is a fun, if you want to do it, great. And I've had a lot of response from that. So,
And really that is what it is, or that is how it's supposed to be. Like I know I had one parent who emailed me. It's like, is this a requirement? No, like, gosh, I mean, if your child doesn't want to work on one badge for the 3 years that he's in the program, that's fine. You know, and it's not even, you know, like I'm not going to be worried about it. If a youth doesn't choose to engage with the personal achievement badges, because I'm not supposed to, it's really entirely about the youth and the youth's interests and whether the youth wants to bring their interests into the scouting program in a way that is ultimately going to result in a badge on the uniform, right? Mm-hmm. You know, my concern, if I'm concerned about anything badge-wise, it's, you know, making sure that I'm delivering a program that is going to put a couple of the square OAS badges on vests. That's more my concern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, in terms of the personal achievement badges, if there's a youth who wants to earn all of them in a year, I wish that youth good luck, and I will do everything I can to support that youth. And if there's a youth who just does not want to engage with it at all, I will totally abide by that decision and support the youth in that as well, because that's just what the personal achievement badges are. They're individual to the youth, entirely elective to pursue. And maybe that's why we've had such a good uptake on them, is the fact that, you know, like it's supposed to really be a no pressure kind of thing. And then, you know, which adds to the fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was, I think, with the big, that was kind of one of the things under the Cub model, was the fact that, you know, like in Cubs, the big thing was getting your stars. You know, you earn your stars on your shoulder.
And the only way to get your stars is you had to complete these things and you had to do that thing. And
so you had to earn certain of your badges and some other requirements on top of that as well. So, yeah. Now, admittedly, despite the difficulty that attended earning stars and occasionally the tedium that attended earning stars, a lot of our Cubs were actually kind of sad to see the stars go away because we don't have them anymore. But then equally, I think that is still a program change for the better, because it really, again, I love that the youth have taken up the badges. I think the biggest thing about the Canadian Path program that I like over our old way of doing it is the fact that we have kind of built a bit of a wall, put a bit of space between personal achievement badges, you know, the personal interests as badge, and the outdoor skills, right? The stuff that we, the scout craft and all the rest of it that we should kind of be still keeping as the primary focus of the program. I like that there's some space there, because for me as the scouter contemplating how we're going to do 2017 to 2018 program, it's, you know, I know that I can have the personal achievement badges there and present that to the youth and just let them kind of run with it. And then when I work with my Whitetails Council, it's going to be, you know, basically, we can focus on the outdoor skills and, you know, figuring out how to incorporate those into the different activities that the youth plan and suggest and even hopefully help run.
Yeah.
And one aspect of the personal achievement badges that I've really enjoyed this year, working through them from both the parent and the scouter perspective, has been that the personal achievement badges are not, you can't just read through the list and say, I've got this one. Whereas for my son, his, was it the water sports badge or the OAS one?
I think right. Or there's paddling, aquatics.
I think it was the aquatics sailing one. Yeah. So the aquatics, one, he's been doing swimming lessons since he was quite young. So he blew through the first one, no problem, checked off all the boxes and was well onto the second one working through it. And I like that for the personal achievement ones, even though we have a pet, you cannot just say, I have a dog and I've done these things. I get my pet, my is it a pet scout badge or pet care?
Pet care.
Yeah. So you can't just say, I get the pet care one because I have a dog and I've done things. You have to say, I'm going to do these additional things. I'm going to set myself adventures and goals mm-hmm. that are above and beyond what I already do.
Yep. And like, I can't remember the exact phrasing now, and my Scouter manual is buried in the other room there. But yeah, there was something that was, and it was a phrase that was applied specifically to the North Star Award project, but it's really kind of become my mantra for personal achievement badge planning too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, something that's supposed to be within the youth's overall skill level, but just beyond the edge of their comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of been the thing that I've been trying to push as much as possible for when youth have been doing badge planning. And again, the uptake has been pretty profound because it's like, on the one hand, I mean, there's nothing to say that, you know, a youth can't pick 3 or 4 adventures that are within his or her comfort zone around something that they're genuinely interested in. You know, there's nothing to say they can't do that. But, you know, equally, if there's nothing really for me to say that, you know, I'm going to deny them the badge if that's what they ultimately choose to do. But I'm going to try and encourage them to push themselves a little bit further because, of course, that's where their growth will take place, right? Like, that's where they will take something that they know and are comfortable with and kind of push it a little further along the curve, right? And, you know, I mean, that'll be to their net benefit, right?
Yeah.
So, again, when I do badge planning with the youth, that's kind of been the way I've always structured, you know, how I go about facilitating that, right? It's like, okay, I want to do this. All right, well, that is a pretty good challenge. Do you think that's, you know, like, oh, I'm going to feed and water my pet for 3 days. Okay, well, that's pretty good. Like, have you fed and watered your pet before, right? And okay, so how often do you do that already? Okay, well, do you think that, you know, do you think then that maybe you want to do this for a little bit longer? And then, you know, we can talk about that. Yep. So anyways.
To make it challenging.
Exactly.
Not just checking off a box of things that I already do.
Exactly. You know, and again, it just really, and it's good because, you know, when they are able to, when they're able to hit that challenge, when they're able to cross that one off, then, you know, like it's, they almost invariably feel good about it. It's just like, wow, I did that. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know, so within their skill level, but just outside the comfort level. And so I guess we kind of wound up, I mean.
Well, I have one more. I have one final badge thought.
Sure. Yeah.
If we have a time for it.
Yeah, totally.
I also, from a nerdy perspective, really appreciate that beavers can now fit the stereotype of the uber achiever.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the old program, if you graduated from beavers or you swam up, your uniform usually looked identical to how it was when it started out, with maybe a few minor
pretty much
changes. Nowadays you can have that beaver with pockets full of badges, in the same way you have cubs with sleeves full of crests and scouts with a whole sash full of crests. You can have those beavers and it just looks nice.
It does. And I mean, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I look back on it now and I look back at, you know, the youth who went through the program under my first 3 years, and there's a handful that I just like, oh, I really wish we could have had this a few years earlier. I mean, my own daughter for one, your nephew.
Oh yeah.
You know,
should have had the knife permit early.
Yep.
Yes.
That's the one.
Yeah. He's already my Uber cub. Mm. And I mean, he was easily the Uber beaver as well.
Yep.
Like very, very, I mean, very mature youth for his age. But just very keen and very intent on the program and on the challenge of it. And just, it's like, man, I really wish I could have had badges when he was in the beaver program, because he totally would have probably come to swim up with, yeah, just like chest full of badges.
Yep. Easily. He easily. And the thing is, his parents probably wouldn't have, I don't want to say encourage it, but they wouldn't push him to do anything necessarily. He wants to do that stuff himself. So they encourage that standpoint.
Yeah.
rather than saying, well, no, you have to go and get that, and you have to go get that. And I've been a little bit of the opposite with my two, where I've said, okay, are there badges you guys want? Okay, so here's what you got to do to get them, and then go from there. But at the end of the day, I also don't really push them into doing something if they don't really want to do it. So mm-hmm.
I've had to push my son. I don't know if push is the right thing. We've only achieved one personal badge this year, and it took us a long time to get there because we'd forget about it and we wouldn't think about it, and then we'd go to a meeting and someone would get a badge and he'd say, "Well, when can I have mine?" And so we'd go home and we'd say, "Okay, well, let's check off another thing off of our list," and we would, and then it'd be another couple of weeks, and then we'd forget about it again. And so we eventually did get one of them done, which mm-hmm. was good.
You know, I mean, end of day, for the personal achievement badges, it is really entirely supposed to be, you know, youth-driven, elective, at their own pace. And, you know, if the parents are hands-off, at least in terms of the pushing, as you say,
mm-hmm.
The ideal parent is the one who's not pushing it on the youth, but who is there to help out when the youth is, you know, undertaking a challenge that would require some adult involvement, like the cooking badge. I mean, you know, if I've got a 5-year-old brown tail who's one of his challenges is to bake muffins for the colony, well, that's great. And I hope he's right there mixing the flour and the sugar and the baking powder and mm-hmm. throwing in the chocolate chips and all the rest of that. I really hope he's not the one turning on the oven and putting the tray in the oven and pulling the tray out of the oven.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I want the level of parental involvement to be, yeah, not pushing their youth to get these badges. But then when the youth wants to engage with that aspect of the program and earn a badge, then yeah, the parents should be right there to assist when they're needed,
yep.
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, same thing with like, you know, the Cub cars. It's like, I really hope the youth are the ones who are designing the car and sanding the car and painting the car and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope they're not the ones using the jigsaw.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Tools like that are not encouraged in my home.
So
that's an inside information that not many people know about.
So anyways, but yeah, I mean, so just, you know, like even just looking at this list, and I should really include a link to this transition chart in the show notes. But just looking at this list and like remembering where we were at 4 years ago and looking at the program we delivered this year, and it's in a lot of ways, it's exactly what I wanted the program to be. When I first took over as section lead, because it feels like an actual, like, oh my gosh, this is exactly like what the scouting experience should be like at this level, you know? So I'm generally really enthused about it. I mean, have there been some teething pains? Absolutely. I think the biggest one has just been, you know, getting up to speed on the outdoor adventure skills and giving any of our whitetails a snowball's chance in a fire of getting the North Star Award.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a couple that are able to over the summer, great. Like, I really hope we can hit that. But I think that was kind of one of the biggest challenges, is the fact that, you know, we knew it was coming and it was kind of trickling out in bits and pieces. And then it just arrived. And it's like, okay, well, we knew this. Evidently, there weren't quite enough bits and pieces and we have a lot of catch up to do.
Yep.
But then equally, for the Beaver program, we were in a better position than the other sections. The Cub program, my gosh, we have been struggling. And I'll maybe talk about that in another episode if I can ever coax some of the other scouters from that section to come out and talk. Because, you know, even something simple like the new badges, like, oh my gosh, you know, we had a complete set of Beaver badges from the start of the year forward. Cub badges still haven't arrived.
Wow.
Some of them. Some of them have, some of them have not. So it's just the rollout at the more mature sections, the older sections. I really shouldn't say more mature. That's not always true. But at the older sections has had more bumps. Mm-hmm. But the rollout to the Beavers was top tier. The delivery of the new program in general, I found, was pretty easy to get on board with. And just little things like, you know, well, I've had youth now in the program for 2 years. This is their last year. If they were, you know, if we had been doing Canadian Path for 3 years, there would be absolutely no possibility that they wouldn't hit North Star. But, you know, now we're just playing catch up and trying to make sure that some of them actually do have a chance to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, you know, all of the metrics that are required for it. So,
well, but anybody who's a brown tail now or coming into brown tail now has that opportunity.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
So with your cubs, you know, my nephew and your daughter being their first year this year now have, 2 more years set in front of them to be able to get all of the badges
yep.
that they need too. So,
So, and I mean, there's other issues at the Cub level, which again, I'll probably talk about if I can ever convince some of the other Cub Scouters to come out and kind of do a year recap. Mm-hmm. But, there were some other challenges, but I mean, yeah, like now, even the Blue Tails, you know, even the Blue Tails have a really good chance of, you know, if they want to go for this award, they're going to be able to hit it. And our delivery of the program to them is going to be very, very much more complete than it will be to the Whitetails from this year.
That's true.
And yeah, I mean, it'll be much the same for the Cubs and any new Browntails we have coming on this year. It's going to be, I think, very, very good going forward.
I feel like we've only handed out on Tuesday. I don't know if Monday's any different. I feel like I've only handed out 2 OAS badges this year so far. But then for the summertime, I want to try and work on a few more of those. Like a climbing badge.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything with climbing this year, so we could go to an indoor climbing area somewhere, hopefully that's geared towards 5 to 7 year olds and start working on that one.
Yeah.
Yepers. Well, anyways, I completely lost track of time, but, I just realized I have a sink full of dishes that I got to do before I go to bed.
As do I.
So I should probably, spin this down for now.
I got a hockey game to watch.
Yeah.
Finish watching.
Yeah. You know what? We had it on at my uncle and aunt's. I went there for dinner, but I honestly wasn't paying attention to the score. So I could tell you that Toronto was playing.
Toronto was playing.
I can spoil the whole thing for you if you want to. If you want the really short version.
But you're not going to.
I won't, no.
No. No.
I could if you'd like.
So as of this recording, I still don't know if the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to go to game 7 or not. And when I hear myself on this recording, I'll either be really happy or
sad.
Very sad.
And immediately all of the listeners that are not in Canada are wondering just what happened to this podcast.
Yep.
Yes.
I thought you guys were in Edmonton.
Man, this is not hockey stuff you should know. But anyways. Well, thank you both for chiming in. This is... it's nice to do just a little recap at the end of the year because, I mean, this was a year that saw a ton of change. So I'm really, really glad that we had a chance to...
So much change.
And as always, a big shout out to the folks at Scouting Radio for rebroadcasting all of our episodes. If you are listening to us via Scouting Radio right now, please do let us know. Reach out, get in touch. We would love to hear from you. And since Colin is not here, I'm just going to have to remember to tell you that you can email us at scoutingstuffpodcast@gmail.com. You can also visit scoutingstuffpodcast.com, and there's a little link at the top to leave us a message. Takes you to a little page, and you can record up to 90 seconds of audio in your browser window.
And hey, Ken, are you guys on social media too?
Yes, I am on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at @SSYSKpodcast. Or on facebook.com/scoutingstuffpodcast. And finally, please do consider leaving us a review on iTunes. We've had a few already. We'd love to have more. Helps add to the visibility of the podcast. Not that I'm not already exceedingly pleased with how well the podcast is doing, but hey, you know what? Would be happy to see it do a little bit better than it is.
You read mine last time.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were one of them.
I was one of them.
Yep.
So he spends this whole podcast saying all these great things about me, and then he reads my review.
Then he invites me on the show.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of reviews, do you have any that you want to talk about?
No new ones that I've heard since.
Okay.
That I've been notified about since. So I covered the 3 that I had.
Okay, then.
Yes.
We'll have to get on that with some aliases. And...
That's a great idea. Or if you're out there, just, you know, go to your podcast feed and leave Ken.
Leave, like, actual not fake reviews.
Yeah.
I like those even more.
Yes, you burly Canuck 49 from Hamilton. Just leave a real review.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time, be prepared.